7:21 on a Tuesday morning. Joining us now is the superintendent of schools for Northfield, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, good morning. Thank you so much for coming in today.
It's my pleasure, Jeff. Great that you seem so relaxed after your vacation.
Yes, and now I have March Madness. It's affected me not so much on the college level, but on the high school level. The Raiders, you know, last year the hockey team generated so much excitement, both teams going to state. This year, the girls' basketball team there, the boys have a chance. They play in the section championship game. Always, that's got to be a positive thing for the school as a whole.
Oh, it's excellent. It's, first of all, we're so proud of our student-athletes who continue to represent Northfield so well, both on and off the court. We appreciate that very much. Excited for our girls, their first trip to the state tournament since 2010. And if you've not had a chance to see these young ladies play this year, they share the ball very well. They play excellent defense. A really great high-low game that I love to watch in terms of guards passing into the post. And a lot of fun. I think they're going to be a tough out up at Williams Arena.
I think so. And we'll be broadcasting the game. If you can't make it there, if you can, you can get your tickets starting in about 10 minutes at the high school. So 7:30 to 8:30 this morning.
And something else that you mentioned, Jeff, that I really do want to emphasize for Raider fans is that there's a unique circumstance with the boys' game this Friday night where the Mayo Civic Center is also hosting another college basketball event. So the boys are playing in a much smaller, the Mayo Civic Center auditorium, which seats, my understanding, is about 2,200 people. And so those are pre-sale tickets. So I think even if a person went up to Williams Arena, they could probably get a ticket tomorrow for the girls. The issue with the section championship, as I am concerned, some Raider fans could end up in Rochester and not get a ticket because it's such a small outlet. So, again, you know, the key thing is making sure that they buy the tickets ahead of time for the boys' game.
Yep. Let's move on. Coming up, well, really all around the country, there have been students that have kind of organized after the latest school shooting, and there are some protests that are planned throughout the state, and Northfield is participating in one of those tomorrow, I understand. Is that correct?
It is, and I'd like to go back that unfortunately I wish that I could say that Parkland was the latest school shooting, but we know that there have been others even since then, and others thwarted since then, really demonstrating some serious issues that we have to deal with in our country on a number of levels. As I said the last time that I was here with Andy, that, you know, people are just hurting, Jeff, and students are feeling, I think, powerless, you know, as they look across the country. They see these. We know that schools statistically are the safest place for kids to be, but we know when faced between data or real-life stories, you know, we always gravitate toward the real-life stories as we normally do as human beings. And so I think students see these pieces going on across the country, not just here in Northfield, but everywhere, and want their voice to be heard. And so, you know, what I want to be clear is that tomorrow's, it's a national walkout that's happening tomorrow. I want to be really clear that, you know, the school district doesn't sponsor or endorse any of these kinds of walkouts, but we do support our students' right to express their freedom of speech as identified in the First Amendment. We have a landmark case that goes back to the 1970s with Tinker versus Des Moines Community Independent School District, where the Supreme Court said very clearly and has upheld it since then that students do not shed their free speech rights at the schoolhouse gate. It's one of the first things that they teach you in school administrator class. And so the key thing is that we support our students' right to exercise their First Amendment rights. There are some conditions. They cannot disrupt, you know, the educational process. They're expected to be at school, so those students who are participating in it, you know, will receive an excused absence, and that's consistent. If you remember a year ago, we had about 275 students participate in the Day Without Immigrants protest, which was down here at Bridge Square. And again, some students exercised their right to free speech by attending that, those students remarked, with an unexcused absence. And that's the technical part. You know, we can't endorse it. We can't sponsor it. But what I am proud of is the relationship that our administrators and our teachers at our secondary buildings have created with our students, because this is student-led, and so some student leaders came to Principal Joel Lear several weeks ago and said, hey, you know, we're thinking about this. Can you share with us how we would do this so that we follow the rules? And that's a great place to be, you know, I mean, because students had an opportunity to hear, here's what the law says that you can do, here's how, you know, we are able to coach you, you know, if you will, and let you know how you can do this within your rights without disrupting other children and other educational opportunities. So classes will be going on tomorrow as normal. And I know it's called a walkout, Jeff, but from what I understand, I'm not sure that I would necessarily considerate that here. Yes, students will be walking out of the building. The way I understand it, our student leaders who have articulated that this is really a vigil. It's really a it's going to be for 17 minutes, and it's designed to honor the memory of the 17 people who were killed in that Parkland massacre. And so I am proud of our students who are willing to stand up and say, you know, we want to honor these people who went to school just like we do and, frankly, should have every right, have had every right to go to school and feel safe and have come home from school to their parents. And so I think any parent out there who's listening today, you can imagine the horror of getting that phone call or getting that, you know, the emergency message from the Parkland schools. And I think that we all, as parents, at our core, we love our children. And, you know, we have to understand that our kids are thinking about this because they think about it as regular. Think about every kid in our school right now was born after Columbine. So their entire school career has been spent practicing lockdown drills, understanding that having an active shooter in your school is a possibility. I think as a society, reasonable people can agree that is absolutely where we do not want to be. And so this national walkout, which is sponsored by the National Women's March tomorrow, is student-led. The school district cannot endorse, you know, or officially authorize it, but we do let students know how they can exercise their First Amendment rights in a way that does not disrupt the education of the students who prefer to stay in their classes. And I know there's going to be hundreds of students who support, you know, the concepts that the student-led walkout will have tomorrow, but they're going to choose to stay in class for a number of reasons. Doesn't mean that they don't support it. Doesn't mean that they don't believe it. Just the fact they have some other things, you know, that they're working on at that time. But the key thing for folks to know in our community is our students are proactive, and they try to make sure they connect with the adults in the community so that they follow the appropriate steps in their civil disobedience. And, you know, I also know from time to time community members are concerned about, you know, the school making sure that people are held accountable. And this would be like any other unauthorized absence from school. It would be counted as an unexcused absence. And what we do is we talk with students about civil disobedience does usually have a small consequence. And frankly, an unexcused absence is a relatively minor consequence, but it is a consequence nonetheless. So, again, you know, students don't shed their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse gate. The Supreme Court has been very clear about that. They are not able to disrupt the educational proceedings. I don't even believe they're thinking about leaving campus. I think they're just going to end up just outside because they're not going to be walking down to Bridge Square and back in 17 minutes. So I do appreciate the students bringing their concepts to Principal Lear. I also understand we have a small group of middle school students who are also considering doing something similar just on the plaza at the middle school. So, again, age appropriate. And we appreciate the community's support of our students. And we need to turn this back to the fact that every child should have the right to go to school and feel safe, and parents shouldn't have to wonder whether they're going to come home at the end of the day or not. Northfield Schools does a lot of stuff to prevent that from happening. We're not perfect. We can't control everything. In fact, we're far from perfect, and there's a lot of things we can't control. But I really encourage folks who are listening to pay attention to the legislature, because there are a number of things that are going on right now that could help increase school safety. And we need to look at some serious measures in which we can make sure that our students remain safe. My frustration right now is there's a lot of things about what can schools do better, yet I think we all know there's a little bit more to the conversation than just that.
Once again, we're talking with Matt Hillman, Superintendent of Schools. Let's move on. You had a school board meeting last night and a presentation on a topic that has we've talked about many times on this program, and it's getting more and more attention, and that is sleep. Teens getting enough sleep. Evidently, they're not getting enough sleep, according to a lot of studies that you have done. What did you hear in the presentation last night?
Yeah, let's be clear. I haven't done any of the studies on this quite yet. Maybe someday, but no. Dr. Brian Hoff is a sleep doctor here in Northfield, a respected doctor. And in 2014, he had actually come to the board sharing the up-to-date research, which some of the landmark research actually came out of the University of Minnesota about teenagers and sleep. And at that time, one of the responses that many school districts use is starting their schools a little bit later to accommodate for this biological phenomenon that happens in our teens. And so, you know, we've had some thoughts about this again, and so we brought Dr. Hoff back in to just kind of reset the table about what does the latest research say. And as you said, this is really not out for debate anymore. The science is there. And while they can't explain why it happens, the first thing that I think some of our listeners might think is when we talk about teenagers and sleep, that, well, they just stay up too late. And, you know, and frankly, sometimes people have said, well, kids are just lazy. Well, what Dr. Hoff shares is that the science is that while scientists can't explain why it happens, it is very clear that at puberty, children's circadian rhythm bumps ahead by a couple of hours. And so where you and I are ready for bed pretty early, you know, between their internal biological clock shifts for a period of time. It shifts back eventually, mm-hmm. but about the age of puberty, every child is a little bit different when they hit. I've got three kids. They all hit that time frame a little bit later where they wanted to stay up a little bit later. And it isn't that they are you know, doing things that are frivolous. It's not that, well, they might be, but they're just not tired. And they're just not tired because that's what their biological clock does. And so the research is relatively clear. And Dr. Hoff is an outspoken advocate for, you know, schools that start later. I want to be clear. We're simply just going to start a conversation with the community about it. And so last night was an opportunity for Dr. Hoff to, again, share that research again. He shared a number of things that making sure that teenagers have good sleep are good for them in terms of their mental health, their academic performance, their driving, which I think everybody listening, mm-hmm. you know, can appreciate. We know as adults, if we're drowsy, you know, in fact, some studies say that driving drowsy may be as bad as driving drunk in some circumstances, so depending on how tired you are. So, you know, when we have compelling research that says there's something that's under our control as a community that we could look at doing good for kids on all these fronts, mental health, academic, even athletics, it's our responsibility to at least take a look at it. So our next steps with this, after hearing Dr. Hoff's presentation last night, we're working with our statistics class at the high school. Ray Coudray, longtime math teacher, has taught statistics for a number of years at Northfield High School, and every year they do a project, and so we're working with Ray's statistics class to create a survey that they will conduct with parents about what would be positive about potentially a later start time, what's something that would, you know, be a challenge or a hurdle for them, so we can get kind of the playing field. And then, you know, as you know, Jeff, we really take these kinds of decisions out and get feedback from the community. So over the next, and this is nothing we'd look at for the 2018-19 school year. The earliest we'd be looking at it would be for the 2019-20 school year. It could even be potentially something that would be considered a year later than that. We have a number of discussions there. We need to have some additional discussion with our staff. We need to have some additional discussion with parents. And, of course, parents who would be affected by it, so kids who are a little bit younger as they are growing up. But when we have a compelling research that suggests that we could do this for kids and would be positive, it's our responsibility as a school district to take a look at it, at least engage in the conversation and see if it's right for our community.
All right. We got to move on. We're running up against the clock.
So we've got some juicy stuff today. This is very good.
Yeah, it is very good. But there's also some mundane stuff, which is very important.
I
don't mean to call mundane, but budgets. You know, the budget is a process that you go through every year. This year, the voters voted to supplement that budget a little bit with more taxes and operating levy passed. So your budgets, are they done and approved now for the 18 or for the Yeah, it'd be 18-19 school right. year coming up.
Well, we are starting the process.
Okay.
You know, Val Murdestorf in our office would love it if it was done. You know, our awesome finance director would love it if it was done now, but we're just starting the process. School districts are required to adopt their budget by June 30th. We usually adopt our formal budget at the June board mm-hmm. meeting, but we do a number of presentations starting actually in February about the budget, and then that approval is the culmination of all of those budget presentations. So last night the board did approve the 18-19 operating capital and long-term facilities maintenance budgets. We get this one done first, Jeff, because it allows us to start making sure that we can have all of our summer projects lined up. So one of the big ones that will affect people is that we are going to be doing a little bit of a redesign of the middle school drop-off loop. So we added a lane there a couple of years ago, but anybody who has ever parked at the middle school knows it's about 275 steps from the parking lot to the front door. We're going to redesign that parking loop to actually include some parking spots that are within that drop-off loop, so much closer, some visitor parking, some handicap parking. And so it'll be a long time coming. I can hear the collective cheer from people who access the middle school everywhere. So that's one example.
Sure.
And there's some other things that some resurfacing of the tennis court, some driveway crack repair, which we do every year, some painting within the school, some replacing some cabinetry at Sibley Elementary, in terms of just those kinds of things that are good stewardly acts to make sure that we maintain our facilities as long as we possibly can.
We had mentioned just a few minutes ago the calendar, the 1819 calendar, and you did I get this right? You approved the 1920 calendar?
We did. We approved the 1920 calendar last night. Okay. We continue to hear from parents because in many organizations, people have to bid for their vacations. And so I actually got an email just last night, just before we approved the calendar, asking when we are going to approve the 1920 calendar. And we know in many organizations, people have to bid their vacation quite far in advance. Mm-hmm. And so we have gone to the point of now we're always approving a calendar that's 2 years down the road as opposed for just next year. So we've gotten some really good feedback from parents on that they really appreciate the long-term planning. And so we did approve the 1920 calendar last night. Not much to see here, Jeff. Still an after Labor Day start. Standard spring break that year. It does align with both Carleton and St. Olaf's, which is great. The way that the winter holidays fall that year, it's one of the years where students will have a two-week break.
Ah, they've got to be happy with that.
I think that depends. What we have a principle of, with the exception of the Thanksgiving week that we can do nothing about. If we can get 3 days in a week, we will run the week. And if we can't, if we can get less than 3 days, we tend to take that week off. And so, you know, with January 1st that year falling on a Wednesday, that being the holiday, we know people use an entire week like that, either at grandma's or some other places. And so not just being able to get 2 days in that week, we'll come back and start on January 6th in 2020.
Superintendent Hillman is with us from the Northfield School District. Matt, is there anything else you talked about last night or you'd like to bring up while we have you here?
Sure. I just want to mention that one of the things that the school board has been discussing has been school safety, of course. And so the board at its last meeting had talked about potentially drafting a resolution urging the legislature to take action on a number of things related to school safety. After they had charged me with putting something together, and rather than doing a resolution, what we did is we drafted a collective letter to the legislature, you know, really encouraging them to really focus on providing some long-term work on mental health, making sure that they provide us some opportunity for reasonable security enhancements. We don't want our schools to feel prison-like. We want them to be a welcoming learning environment, but we also think schools could use some additional dollars for some additional security enhancements, including personnel and facilities expenditures. And we are also asking them to consider effective regulation of firearms in the interest of public safety, and also funding some public health research on firearms-related issues. We just don't have enough data on some of these things to help us make, you know, some of the best policy kinds of decisions. So in general, the letter is just really making sure that the legislature knows that the Northfield School Board cares very much about it. It's our personal responsibility for every one of these students' safety. And they didn't feel they could sit by and idly watch. And so they approved a collective letter that I'll be at the Capitol today doing some lobbying with the Schools for Equity in Education, a group that we've talked about many times. And myself and board members Julie Pritchard, Ellen Iverson, and Amy Gerwitz will hand-deliver this letter to Representative Bly and Senator Dreheim. Will also be providing personal copies to Senate Majority Leader Gazelka and Speaker of the House Kurt Dowd. And of course, if we get a chance to see the governor today, that'd be great, but I doubt that's going to happen, so we will give it to his office as well. People are just concerned, rightfully so. And again, while schools are still the safest place for kids, it's a time in history where we should not have to be worrying about this, Jeff. But we do. And our board felt that they needed to let our elected leaders who have some opportunity to make some change know, and so we'll be delivering this letter today to the legislature.
All right. Superintendent, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thanks for everything, and have a great day.
You too. Northfield School Superintendent Dr. Matt Hillman joins us twice a month right here on 95.1 and AM 1080 KYMN Northfield.